Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about spirituality, healing, energy, alternative medicine, higher levels of consciousness, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun way to nourish your spirit. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
We want to thank everybody to the Transformation Cafe. It's terrific Tuesday. There's all these really great things that people are doing with Tuesdays now. It's transformational. It's terrific. There's all these wonderful good things. And as normal, we have a couple of our just wonderful diners going ahead and scooting up to the table today. Miss Gloria, how are you tonight?
I am sweltering in the San Diego heat. And there is humidity.
Yeah. There is, you know, we're kind of getting a little taste of Florida or something. I think so. Of course, you know, they always say that people in California are just big whiner complainers about the weather. You know, they always
they
laugh
are.
At us about how we make such a big deal about the weather. I think
they
that's
are.
Probably true. And then there's Mr. Jamie in beautiful Washington, our state of Washington. How are you?
Mr. Jamie, calling from the great city of Seattle in the great state of Washington up in the great Pacific Northwest.
So is it sweltering in Seattle as well?
Is it sweltering? No, it's comfortable, but right now it is. But during the, we're having our summer is officially, our week and a half of summer is officially,
So the shorts are out and the suntan lotion is going on, right?
It's more like
about
it's more like
couple shows ago.
It's more like all the hipsters running around sunburns.
Yes, they're like, wow, mm-hmm. Look at me! I've got a sunburn. How great is that?
Right.
Yeah, you know the rarity. Everybody, if you got a skin disease or you got a sunburn, we're not too sure. So you know. So last show on show 216, we did the simplicity, the joy of less. And I kind of was just asking everybody, our regular listeners here, if they were willing to do, because one of the main things that's very, very important when we're coming from the joy of less and working with simplicity and being minimalistic is doing one thing at a time. And so I wanted to do a little check-in and say, how's that going for you guys? Did you try, and is there any kind of insights that you learned about that? What about you, Jamie? Were you able to do one thing at a time?
Well, you know, actually, I started something and finished it, and I did it at the time. I didn't stop what I was doing, I started a couple drawings, and I didn't stop till I was happy. And I take baby steps when I try to accomplish something, because sometimes it's part of a whole, and the whole is just too overwhelming sometimes. I'm talking about like creative rearranging and trying to throw things out, and that's a hard part. But again, task orientated, you know, that's the way to go. Take it a little at a time or a little corner, or devote some time specifically to that task, and then don't stop until, you know, you either finished or your time is up and you can go to something else for the rest of your day.
Okay, that was a great
segue. There's only so much time left in the day, you know. I mean, if you have to schedule a budget, that's what you got to do.
Doing one thing at a time, less is more, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we talked about. Yeah. Well, we're going to kind of go into that a little bit more tonight, because we were a little bit talking Paisley last week. We went on to a few different subjects. All were fun and interesting, but I definitely wanted to revisit that, because, you know, we touched on some really good stuff. And I actually did a little more looking in online and things like that. There's some fun things that we can kind of explore when it comes to levels of being simplistic. So, Ms. Gloria, how about you? Were you able to do one thing at a time?
It makes my eye twitch.
To do one thing at a time. I can understand that on a certain level. Yeah, I understand that. So is the answer no then? Because it made your eye twitch or what?
Right.
Okay, so there wasn't being able to do that. Well, you know, there's ways of looking at doing one thing at a time.
I actually, on Sunday, I did spend the majority of the day working on revising my website and getting it ready to change into a new website. So I guess
hopefully we can talk about that some other time too. That, you know, what those working on that one thing at a time would be good. So what were you going to say, Jamie?
No, somebody asked me a question. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's fine. That's fine. Well, in looking at doing one thing at a time, there was actually some really good articles online about that. And one thing that it said was it's important when you're coming from that mindset to create an oasis of sanity and calm for yourself from the get-go. Yeah, every intention of doing the one thing at a time is, like you were saying, I'm going to slow it down. And I'm going to enjoy the process, and I'm really going to be with what I'm doing right now. So it was looking at that level of slowing things down and enjoying the process, and also not allowing yourself to get pulled away, like if there was a cell phone call or whatever. And I know for Jamie, you know, he's got the Om tattoo parlor up there in Seattle. So part of the challenge is, would you be creating art like that and then you'd have a client or a phone call come in where somebody wanted to go ahead and, you know, get an appointment to get a tattoo? That's definitely going to pull you away, right?
Well, you never can tell. And we're a small operation, so we don't have a counter person to watch the phone or field questions. We do it all ourselves. But, again, that's because we're a smaller operation. We don't have plus, we don't do piercing as well, so that's a lot of questions and stuff. Sure.
So you give everybody that personal touch, right?
I try to have a few things going on, but I try to make myself available. Sure as tootin', when you start a project, that's when somebody will come in and want to be take your time up with a tattoo. But that's just what happens, you know, if you decide to make some needles or mix some pigments or something that where you're going to have to stop what you're doing. But again, I'd rather earn some money because that's what I'm there to provide a service. So I got to make hay while the sun shines. And as far as the thing goes, you can't really drop off your arm or your leg or part of your body to get tattooed and come back. So it's a while you wait type thing.
We don't have that
technology. In my experience. Anyway,
we don't have that technology yet. Yeah, I'm gonna lay my arm here, and I'll be back. Yeah, and get into the. That's a totally different topic. Yeah. So one of the things it was just saying for slowing things down and one thing at a time is to eat slower. So what about that? Have you guys thought about that as part of your stuff, or were you just all making it totally about just task oriented things as opposed to just the normal, the normal things I'm doing every day, like walking a little bit slower, eating a little bit slower, taking time to look at different things.
I think myself, I walk. I'm starting to walk slower anyway.
Well, you know, about what 3 weeks ago, I wound up messing up my leg a little bit, and I could have kept pushing my leg and moving faster. But I really just made the conscious effort just to slow down a little bit and not push my, you know, push something. So, you know, it takes you an injury for you to slow down a little bit instead of just, you know, the normal gait or whatever that you have when it comes to things like that. There's so many benefits to eating slower. I've heard just so many. I don't think there's a downside to eating a little bit slower. It just isn't.
Well, there's also the... When I was working with hypnosis for a weight loss center, one of the things that we used to tell the clients was that when you eat slower and you chew your food more, your brain, it has a certain number of chews, the mandibular action, that will need to happen before the brain recognizes that it's been eating. And when you eat more slowly, you actually eat less food. You are full faster.
Yeah, doesn't it take like 5 minutes for the body to recognize that you're actually eating? Something like that?
That's
probably not that slow, but...
remember how long.
There is a lag time. There is a lag time.
Yes, there is.
Yeah, which is very, very interesting. So it was saying that it's good to decide what's important to do when it comes to, you know, that one thing at a time, is making that list of priorities for the day and making as many as you want. So the recommendation was make as many of the lists and make as many activities that you want, and then cut it in half. And out of the half of that, pick three. Because it just really comes to that level of being able to slow it down one thing at a time. And if you have more time, you can always go back to other activities on the list that you could go ahead and accomplish. But it's those three things a day that are the things that once you've made that choice of what those things are, they're going to be the most important things. I know as a florist, I'm always talking to brides about that, where brides are just feeling overwhelmed with so many details of a wedding. And I remind them that if it's something that you wind up not getting done, it's really not that important. Because if it was important, you'd make time to get it done. And always, almost always, they always look at me like, oh, thank you for that. That was great advice. You know. And then she doesn't have a wedding dress or something. No, not really. You know, you go to the comedy extreme on something like that. You forget something that we know is really important to the wedding. But more times than not, it's usually something that's not that important. So I think that's an interesting thing to be able to look at. And the second thing was to look at your commitments and really wonder if you're overcommitting yourself to saying yes to too many activities or what other people might say are important. So really looking at that and examining that for yourself. Am I overcommitting to things when I could be doing less? It really goes back to that three things a day and having those be the commitments that you make and then adding to that as well. So that doing less and getting more out of it. Because studies have shown when we do less, we're more focused, it's a better quality in what we're doing. We actually are more productive because we're not feeling so scattered and don't have a less of more of that level of feeling chaotic, because we're just adding so much more to our plate instead of having it be something that can be productive for ourselves. So is it, all of this making sense to you guys?
Sure, it makes sense. I mean,
makes sense.
Definitely you would accomplish more if you have less to accomplish, but if you do it and it's done, then you don't have to go back to it or revisit it unless you actually have to. And again, what if you're you actually have to deal with a little more than that. You know what I mean? It's it's nice to have an option, but sometimes I guess it'd be like taking care of certain things that it should be taken care of or prioritized, or like you said, maybe picking the ones that are more important.
Yeah, one thing that I recommended doing was to do what they call Zen tasking. We go into the world of Zen. And it was kind of interesting because they even say you should be learn how to be do Zen driving. And the driving was a good practice along with the being more simple in life. It's also being mindful and being in the moment when you're driving, which I thought was a great idea. But the Zen tasking comes pretty much for that same thing of take the time to write down all the things that you think you need to get done for the day and then breaking them down and creating it to where even within those different tasks, you're taking it, you know, one thing at a time, and then within those times of actually doing an activity, you would slow it down to where you'd be contemplative about what you've done and appreciating the moment of actually celebrating that you've accomplished something. I mean, the one thing that you know, when you have multiple appointments day, you know, that are back to back, and not even allowing yourself to even have lunch sometimes because you're just so busy taking scheduled appointments and things like that, actually taking time to take a scheduled break, and it's actually for you instead of having it where it's like, oh, okay, I don't have anything else taking up that time. I know that's something that I learned a few years ago is making appointments with myself and just saying, oh, I have an appointment at that time, and it could be me just, you know, going to take a break or, you know, taking myself out to lunch or whatever, you know, you felt like you needed to do just to be breaking it down and having it to where you actually had some personal time is really, really good. One of the other things about Zen tasking is making sure that when you're doing that single task, that you turn off the cell phone, you make sure that you're not checking emails and things like that. Nothing is going to pull you away from the task that you've committed to in the moment that you've decided, now's the time I'm going to work on this, whatever it is. and just putting all the different technology on hold to where once you get done with that task, you'll go back and check things. But you don't allow it to pull you away from actually accomplishing the task at hand. And, you know, I don't know why, I'm just thinking of when it comes to people who are writers and things like that, how, you know, they go away for 2 or 3 weeks or a month, and basically they're, you know, except for at just certain times of the day, they'll actually be checking their you know, technology to be checking in with people. And other than that, they're not available because they're just writing, and they just immerse themselves into the process. So I think a part of that goes along, too, with that one thing at a time. So does it sound like something with doing something? Zen seems easy. Doesn't that seem easy, you guys?
I heard everything except for the part of your question, that first part.
I said, doesn't Zen seem easy when we know you break it down like that and look at tasks, look about the doable part of it, you know, shutting everything else down when you're committing to that one thing that you're going to be working on?
It would take some getting used to, maybe, but, you know, I guess anything's possible.
Anything is possible.
Everything is an elephant, and the only way to eat an elephant is one bite at a time, so.
Right.
That might take
you a while.
It's
almost like an elephant joke.
That is like an elephant joke.
Excuse me.
Is there a Zen elephant? I don't know. I would think so. You know, what's the difference between What's the difference between
You're almost there.
Anyway.
I don't know. There's something.
I know.
The Zen elephant is the one that has all four legs on the ball, balancing it with his trunk extended up, balancing the woman. That's a Zen elephant.
That is a Zen. He's got every. It's like I'll have instead of having all the plates in the air and having them going well, he's got his everything on the ball. That's good. That's good, Gloria.
You're on the ball, and he's balanced in life.
Yeah, and he even can balance he's got another ball on his trunk or something. Perfect balance on the ball and on the ball. That's all good.
On the ball.
So they also talk about Zen driving, and I thought that was kind of a neat between Zen tasking and Zen driving. And Zen driving is very similar to that. So many people drive, and they don't even. They're just not even conscious of the driving most of the time. They go on automatic pilot because they just do it so much, right? So,
well,
and working with the Zen.
If you have to commute, then you do have to, that's something you have to deal with.
Yeah, but in doing that, there's just so many ways that you can actually allow yourself to enjoy the process of the driving instead of getting it on automatic pilot and just the pushing to get there or pushing the traffic and really getting caught up in the freeway or whatever, instead of having it be an experience that you're choosing as opposed to something that you're just, you know, a part of something else. So it, along with that, it's that first thing too. It's like, you know, taking your time, you know, making sure that you leave a little bit early for when you know you've got a certain time that you need to be somewhere. So you have the time to be able to relax and not feel like you're going to be late. And then getting into the flow of traffic. I know when I'm driving, it's always interesting to see how people are moving and being with the flow. I love it when I'm driving and, you know, a spot will open in the next lane just effortlessly. You just, like, glide right in, you know, that whole fun kind of thing, instead of having it be where you're pushing and all that. Huh?
Here it's called side streets.
Side streets? No,
You know, Robin, that being a Southern California native and you're used to driving the freeways, that's quite an art to that. And yes, and then even in the weather, even rainy weather, people still drive like a maniac, you know what I mean? Like the median speed, and I guess if you're going slow, you're going the speed limit. I mean, because people just, granted, they just take off, you know what I mean? When I visited one time, we were driving the Grapevine. I think that's like seven or eight lanes, right? And it was it was an early morning commute, and it was kind of rainy, but there were people just jetting by us. And it's like, I guess they're used to this type of thing. And, you know, you got to kind of be acclimated to that type of thing. And being a native there, and you're so used to it. Now, if there was somebody coming from out of town, maybe that weren't used to that type of traffic. And you do have to kind of plan your trips, most definitely, you know what I mean? And listen to what's going on, because just with the volume. Yeah, it's amazing.
Well, thank God for GPS, because I know when I'm going to be going anywhere in Southern California, I will get on my GPS and just look at what's going on with the flow. And depending on what's more backed up or what's kind of happening with any kind of accidents and things like that, you know, bypassing a lot of that stuff. So that's one good thing about technology. But once you're in it kind of thing, depending on what you've got going on with everything. But there's studies that show that when you come from that, giving yourself a little more time, slowing down and being in the flow of the traffic, and that doesn't mean that, you know, you're going slow. It means you're going and you're accelerating and slowing down with what makes sense with what's around you. I know it's been interesting because one time, not that long ago, my daughter and I were in L.A., and everybody was going about 50 miles an hour, and they had like three to four car lengths around each other, and they were on the freeway, and they were going like 50 miles an hour. It was just really eerie. It was strange.
You could have gotten out of the car and like jogged along next by the car.
It felt like
we
were in like a twilight zone or something.
Yeah, it's like
it really did. It was odd. And we looked at each other and she's just like, "Is this just me or is this weird?" And I go, "No, this is weird. I don't know what's going on." So I got in the far right lane, and
you were in the twilight zone.
Yeah, we were going about maybe just under 65, and I was just zipping along, and all these people were just driving like, I don't know, it just felt like they were all in trance or something. It was very, very interesting. And then within like a mile or so, it just totally, the speed changed and the traffic changed
got
and all that.
Normal.
It was like this little pocket. Yeah, it was like this pocket that was just really strange with the traffic. So it's really looking at that and just kind of saying, okay, different flow than what I'm used to, that's for sure, you know, as a pocket of LA for whatever reason.
I guess once they decide that they're going to have these automatic cars that they don't need a driver, that you could do your task while the car's driving you, right?
I know. I don't know about that. You know, the computer's going to keep, the computers are going to drive the cars, and, like, you really won't do that when you're on a system like that.
Yes, of course they have that kind of thing.
It goes along. There's a sensor on the front of the car that only allows you to get so close to a car in front of you. Otherwise, the car will automatically decelerate.
But still,
well,
it's like going to drive
the
itself,
now,
right?
Is there an Audi? I'm trying to remember the one that basically stops. It'll brake. It automatically will break, and you know, when it knows that it's got the potential collision that's right in front of them, it'll just automatically slow down.
Oh, right. There's that kind of thing, and it's like it does it for you before you realize it happens.
It's an automatic
kind of car.
Right. It senses it's coming off.
I don't ever want that kind of car. What if I wanted to hit something? Please.
True.
I should have a choice.
Always the devil's advocate.
I should have a choice.
That's right.
I want to hit that car.
You're absolutely correct. You should.
Well, you know, maybe, I don't know. Sometimes you just got to hit that thing. What can I say?
I'm just kidding with you.
I can still see the two people going through divorce and the guy standing in front of the car going, "Go on, hit me, I dare you." And the woman going,
and the car's like, "No way, it ain't happening." You wouldn't be able to rev the darn thing.
What would be interesting is the concept of everybody would have one of those little go-cars, because they only can fit like maybe two people, and everybody would have one.
Mm-hmm.
But then you'd have these giant traffic jams of little, but then how would commerce get? But, you know, as far as like transportating people, that's all you need. You don't need all the giant wheels and stereos, you know, I mean, I don't know, or Segways, because, you know, we see those around, and wasn't that supposed to change the world?
Yeah, they never really did they? But,
yeah,
I mean, on
I mean,
whatever
rich,
level
maybe they, for rich toys or something, I don't know.
Rich toys. Well, and they were hoping that it would help people that are handicapped. I know they were
right,
really,
of course.
Really working with,
now,
with the
I did see
the nail
some
department.
Sort of, some sort of mobile device that you hook to a wheelchair, and you make it like a scooter. Which was very interesting, but I guess you'd have to have the right type of frame and, you know, for your wheelchair and such. There are a lot of things that they can do, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, that's still a potential solution to a lot of different stuff. that would be something out there. But, you know, along with all this stuff, when it comes to, you know, is Zen driving going to help me to be doing one thing at a time? Is it simplifying my intentions of being, you know, single activities? I don't know. Because, I mean, there's a lot of driving, that's for sure. Yeah, when it comes to, like, but, you know, it's the task of driving from one place to another. So it's all those things that are incorporated in that. So
your Zen driving, like if you're out in the, like driving in Nevada, like at night during like a full moon or something, and you know, you just had this long straightaway, you could get into a different kind of a mindset, I imagine, if you're really talking about Zen type things. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, and then coming right with that was when it comes to Zen driving, they talked about hypermiling. Have you heard of that?
No, what is that? Hypermiling.
Hypermiling is a fuel economy way that you can drive, where the premise is that it's just you try to, your whole goal is to maintain just a steady speed, and you drive just below the speed limit. So it's really being very efficient with your vehicle, and you don't make a lot of drop. You don't stop the car. You basically allow it to slow down on its own, and you're hardly using the brake or the gas. You get it just
well,
Salt Lake Flats. I can only imagine that in the Salt Lake Flats. I cannot imagine that down here.
Well, here's an idea. How about have a group or a convoy of cars that are you're all going to go somewhere, so you hyperdrive, and then you also draft off each other. So I guess you're more efficient.
Exactly. That's a part of it right there. You know, part of it would be drafting. A part of it would be what they call like this, the easy, you know, surging, where you'd surge back and forth with your speed, and then you allow it just to, with the hills and everything, to allow the car to do what it's going to do instead of, you know, braking.
Well, you could have that, don't they have that speed set, the control, cruise control style thing?
Cruise control
have
was part
driven,
of the hypermile.
You remember cruise control?
Yeah.
It used to be a little more rudimentary, and then now it's like you just punch a couple buttons and your engine takes care of all of it, you know?
And the smart car is going to get rid of drafting.
It's amazing.
If you can't get close enough to draft, then,
I know you've driven on an interstate, and there's been trucks, semis, and, you know, they draft off each other, and you can draft off of them. I mean, you got to kind of be careful anymore.
I love
it.
Especially if you can communicate, and they're just really great about it.
It's been known to happen.
A lot.
Right.
Well, and especially with Mythbusters they've done a whole shows on that whole concept of, you know, best ways to get mileage, and they did that where they were drafting a semi, and you had to get pretty darn close to make it, you know, totally efficient. We're talking like 3 feet.
Right.
That's what I was saying. The smart cars wouldn't just put an end to that.
Right. Right. But there is a lot to this hypermiling, I'll tell you, with all the different ways of pausing and really allowing the car to just coast more than anything. Because they're saying it, what I thought was really interesting is they said you want to avoid idling your car whenever possible. So, like, if you actually had to stop at a signal.
Well, you know, that's like if you're in stopping good traffic, you know.
Right. More than,
you're just
more than
there.
Like 2 minutes. If you're going to idle more than 2 minutes, they say turn your car off because you're wasting gas.
I already do. Yeah, I already do that.
You do that?
I do.
I thought
if I get in line at anything, whether it be like a post office or a fast food line or if I'm at a turn light and there's a number of cars in front of me and I know I'm not going to make the turn, you know, by the time of the light, yeah, I turn my car off.
Well, I know I do that for railroads when I have to wait for a train.
Yeah.
I'll just park it and I put it, you know, I'll just turn my car off because you don't know how long you're going to be sitting there. But
my mom used to do that when we were sitting in line at the bank when they still had the drive-through bank deposits.
Yep.
So we're down to 30 seconds. What's coming up, Robin? Anything interesting?
Good point.
Well, I think this is pretty darn interesting with hypermiling, but
I like the hypermiling.
Coming up in this, Yeah, we're going to have I have a chiropractor, Dr. Pentin, and he's going to be coming on and talking about wellness, which is really good, about your health and
what
fitness.
What happened to Dr. Feel, not Dr. Feelgood. Now, what was his name? I'm sorry.
Oh, Dr. Steve?
Yes.
Dr. Steve, the other chiropractor. I need to contact him and find out. We're also going to be having a body talk again. We had body talk on a couple years ago.
Right.
We're going
to
have them
coming
on and talking about that as well.
Reestablish a few of the older contacts here somehow. I mean, not to say everybody's busy and everything, but, you know, it might be an idea. We had much easier, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks for the segue, Jamie.
Anyway, that's just me.
Anyway, so just really want to encourage everybody to, I think we should still continue to do the one thing at a time. Are you guys willing to still work on that? So, you know,
okay,
eating slower, maybe try a little Zen driving, or I know for Jamie it's a Zen busing going on there. Like being
I'll,
Zen
I'll
on
look
the
out
bus.
The window a little more Zen-like.
Yeah,
guess,
being mindful of my environment and all that. And
I
when I take breaks, I'm going to appreciate that
Zen
I just
driving.
Accomplished something and spend time in nature.
Zen driving
right.
for me always leads to driving by Braille.
There you go.
I think I'll pass on Zen driving.
You'll pass. Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Well, as always, it's very delightful to talk to the two of you, and I thank everybody for checking in. We've got people from all over the world who are checking out the show, so we want to thank them for their coming in and checking us out. And just remember, you know, we do have our store online, being able to check that out, and you can go to iTunes and go ahead and subscribe, and you automatically will have the shows available to you once we've got them published. So we thank you again for joining us here at the Cafe.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.